podcasting on JerusalemCast.com.
Your favorite cats website. The best Jerusalem cat website in the world. What cat? You have to go to it to see. JerusalemCats.com.
Broadcatting
from live from Kutchoff. That's it. Learning perhaps for the last time in this series of Brachot Shirim, the Masechet Brachot, the last daf, Samach Daled, Amud Aleph. What are we learning?
That's 64A2 in our school.
64A1.
Nope. A1? Okay.
Yeah, you're jumping the gun.
Okay. A1, okay.
Okay, so what are we talking about? So, we've been talking about Oved, what's his name? Oved.
Mm-hmm.
Oved.
Edom.
Edom. Oved Edom, that's him. Baruch Hashem, Oved Edom, who was the person, we're not sure if he was a Jew or not, maybe not, who had the zechut of looking after the holy Aron HaKodesh when it was taken, I think, Bli Neder, from the Palestinians, the Philistinayim, and David HaMelech wanted to bring it to Yerushalayim, and on the way some things happened and he realized that it wasn't a good time to bring it to Yerushalayim yet, so in the meantime let's leave it in the home of safekeeping of Obed Edom. And Obed Edom, in the merit of looking after the ark, and we're seeing these Kal Vachomers from hosting, right? We're learning this story because in Kerem B'Yavna, oi, Tov, that's, it all ties in. In Kerem B'Yavna, there were four rabbis who opened their shiurim by praising their host, and each one gave a drosha about how meritorious it is to host Talmidei Chachamim. So they're learning Kal Vachomer from different events that took place. One of them is the last one we looked at is the benefit a person gets from hosting is really amazing. So here we see that Oved Edom hosted the Aron HaKodesh, and he merited to have his wife and eight daughters-in-law gave birth to six tuplets each as a result. So, 6, 8 to 48, yes. So, Tov.
Eight sons and eight
daughter-in-laws, and not eight mother-in-laws, because that would not be a blessing. Oh, anyway, maybe, you never know. So we're up to Rabbi Avi in the third line of the page. Amar Rabbi Avin Halevi. Rabbi Avin Halevi said the following. Kol hadok, oh, we just learned that. Yes, this is where we left off. Kol hadok dochek et hasha'a sha'a dochato. Anyone who pushes the hour pushes back at him. Kol hanitchem ifnei hasha'a. Whoever yields before the moment, whoever gives in and doesn't push it, even though they can, even though they get a call this morning from the buyer who doesn't want to pay the money over on their house, and the buyer says you need to push your lawyer to get on with the job. If you don't push him, the moment will yield to you. Good morning, Rabbi Elliot. Sorry, just sharing a personal story there. Anyway, Yofi, so that's what we learned last week. What's the source for that? Midu'ava v'Rav Yosef. It's known from something that happened with Rabba, and Rav Yosef.
But why six?
Why six?
It's a special one. It's the same nature.
Nakhon, they had six. All right. I guess six is a good number. I'm not sure, don't know why. It means something.
When we
six is 6 days of the week.
When we were in Egypt,
Nakhon, six.
We each wife gave birth to six at a time.
Nakhon, so that's what we've been saying. So the number six is not coincidental, not that anything is, but it's meaningful. What it means, I don't know. But six generally is the 6 days of the week. It's the seven is Shabbat and eight is beyond nature. So don't know if that has anything to do with it. Okay, so what happened with this incident of Rabbah and Rav Yosef? The Rav Yosef Sinai. Rav Yosef Sinai. He was known as Sinai because of his great expertise in Mishnayot and Brayot, which was clearly ordered in his mind as on the day where they were given at Har Sinai. Interesting. Tov, from the Rashi, by the way, just on this question, Hadochek et Hasha'a, right? Hadochek et Hasha'a, whoever forces the moment, right? It's still not good for him. Doesn't work. So normally Rashi, right, who comes to tell you the pshat, what that means. But here Rashi gives us an example, Kugon Avshalom Shebikesh Limloch B'Chazaka, which is an interesting example to pick, right? Because forcing the hour indicates that it's going to come to you anyway, if you just wait. And Avshalom, who tried to take over the Malchut, it wasn't clear that he was going to get it anyway. But maybe Rashi's indicating here that maybe he knows from a Midrash or something else. Because the Malchut went to Shlomo. Right? David promised it to Shlomo.
Did something bigger
I don't know. Apparently, that's what I'm interested in, why Rashi picked this as an example. Because first of all, Rashi doesn't normally tell you anything that you don't need to know. Right? If you don't understand what it means to force the hour, so fine, explain it to me. It means to do something, to not have patience, whatever. But Rashi here just brings an example. Says, for example, right, so why does Rashi bring that example? It's an interesting question. Maybe it was coming to him, Magialo. He would have got the... Because he was the... Was he the eldest son?
They say he could breathe in on it. It means not the kingship.
Got what?
Of course not the fire.
Tempted right. Interesting here that the Maharsha says that what the, he explains the reason why you're not allowed to force the hour. Why? He says it's a spiritual thing. He says a person has a mazal, and the mazal fixes, apart, he puts in brackets, apart from prayer. Prayer changes your mazal, it's above nature. But prayer aside, each person has a mazal, meaning that they get what's coming to them when it's due to them. Right? If you're due to get $1 million check, it's going to come when it's going to come, right? It's got a time, it's got a fixed time. If you try and force that and get it early, then interestingly over here, the Gra, the Vilna Gaon, says that a person who tries to get it early puts himself in mortal danger. So why? He doesn't explain it, just leaves it like that. But Rav Nachman explains why. Rav Nachman in Likutei Moran explains that wealth is connected to a person's neshama. The place of the wealth in the Shemayim comes from the same place that the neshamot do. And he says it's very dangerous whenever a person gets a lot of wealth.
Is it property, money?
Huh?
Wealth means money, property.
Right? Anything. can be very dangerous
when
you get wealth.
Who said it?
Probably not. But here he brings the Gra, the Vilna Gaon says on this.
Agamemnon
Vilna says here. But Rabbi Yehudah, because it comes from the same place that Neshama does. And why is it danger? Because.
You're changing
the
Neshama. So it could be
like
it's
Neshama's
time to go.
Could be. Yeah, explain. So I don't remember. See, I think it's already in Likutei Halachot as well. I can't remember the reason. But because it was linked to the place of the Neshama, it's as if another part of the Neshama is coming down. And if it's not ready, the Neshama is not ready to take the other top. Don't know. Okay.
Well, it's also in Garden of Wisdom.
Is that?
The Hakam.
Yeah.
He was always grabbing for stuff.
Pushing the hour.
Pushing the hour.
Oh, and he ended up with nothing. You're right, it's a very good lesson. You just have to be patient. Just have to be patient. Even though it's difficult.
But also, dealing with mazal,
yeah.
If you force the issue and you grab it before it's ready, you'll be dealing with the influences of the planets.
Okay.
I mean, without prayer.
Okay.
So you're forcing them, you're forcing the negative besides the positive. You're getting the negative and not the positive.
The thing is, praying for a good wind, you build the vessel.
Yeah.
Your vessel is not ready, you get not enough so much money.
If that can break the vessel. You don't have a vessel for it.
You don't know how to handle it.
But at the right time, when it's due to you, so Hashem will make sure that you have a vessel by then to receive it. But if you want it before you've got the vessel in place, then it can break your vessel, which is not a
maybe
good idea.
After they win the lotto, they make a suicide.
Right.
Everybody's coming now, and you have a new friend.
Right.
Yeah, so-called new friends.
They usually commit suicide when they realize that those people who pretended to be friends weren't really friends at all.
That and also they can't handle the pressure.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Tov, okay, so Rav Yosef was called Sinai, Barabba or Ker Harim. Barabba was called an uprooter of mountains. So I don't know if he went around uprooting Rav Yosef.
Yeah.
About four or five lines down from the top. Okay. It's Tzricha Lahushata. The hour arrived when it was needed. It's Tzricha Lahu when they were needed. Right? The hour arrived when they were needed. Needed for what? Needed to be leaders. Shalchula Hatam, they sent them over there. They were in Eretz Yisrael, and the rabbis sent a message to them. Sinai ba'okeh harim, ezer mehem kodem. No, sorry. They were in Babel, and they sent a question to the rabbis in Babel, sent a question to Eretz Yisrael to ask them who should go first. Sinai v'orkeh harim eza mehem kodem. Which one should we appoint as the head, maybe the Reish Galuta or one of the heads of the academies in Babel? Between Sinai and the one who uproots mountains, which one? Shalchu lahu, they sent back a reply. Sinai kodem, Sinai comes first. Shakol Tzrichin Lamare Chitaya, because all need the master of wheat. Sounds like a Rabbi Nathan story. The master of wheat. Now all need the one who's gathered many Tanaic teachings. Okay. Afal piche lo kibel alav Rav Yosef. However, nonetheless, Rav Yosef did not accept it upon himself. Right, Rav Yosef was Sinai, and they said to Rav Yosef, "You go first, right? It's between you and Rabba, and we've asked the question, and the rabbi is in Eretz Yisrael, so you should go first." But he didn't accept it. Damrei le kedala'ai. Why not? Because the Lada'ai, the astrologers, apparently, or Kladai, Kladai astrologers, or Chaldeans, who were an ancient Semitic people famed for their expertise in astrology, in astrological prognostication. Wow. I think I understand the word Kaldai better. Tom. Prognosis, to make a prediction, to nevuah, to see what's going to be through the stars. Right, because he listened to them. They said, what did they say to him? Malkat Tarotain Shnin. You will rule for 2 years. Right? The implication being that after 2 years he would die. So he realized he didn't want to do that right now. Wasn't quite ready yet to go. So, Malach Rabba Esrim V'Tautin Shanin. So Rabba instead ruled for 22 years. Malach Rav Yosef Tautin Shanin Upalga. And then Rav Yosef accepted the position and ruled for 2.5 years. So he actually even added. He got an extra fourth quarter added on, fifth on the outside. And you also lived 22 years. Well,
Nachon. Can I ask a question? Yeah. Does it say anything more about how he was able to go to the astrologers?
That's a good question. Let's have a look. Yofi. Although it's prohibited to approach a Chaldean to ask to predict the future, one who is told of such a prediction or who discovers it by chance is permitted to act in accordance with it. Yofi. So there we go. So it was in the shuk one day, and an astrologer walked by and said, "By the way, you should know that ..." Uproots mountains. So Sinai said it's a person who's. Hold on, let's see.
Sinai was very
high. As she says.
Fluent in the bright.
Sinai, how you Corin le Rav Yosef Shaya Boki Babraitot Halbet. They called this name to Rav Yosef because he was very knowledgeable in the Braitot. What's that got to do with Sinai? So Braitot are Torah, Mimosha, Misayim, Sinai. It's not the written Torah, it's the oral Torah that was handed down from Moshe Misinai, Sinaitic Torah, if you like. So they were called Sinai. What uproots mountains? So what's an uprooter of mountains? Are you saying anything here? Hakeh Harim, L'Rabba Bar Nachmani, Rabba Bar Nachmani, Shaya, Mechoded Yoter B'Pilpul. He was very sharp in pilpul. Right? What does that mean? It means that he got his thumb, sharpened his... You see from here, you can make a dikduk from there to show that actually this is the case. Very sharp. What does that mean? You uproot mountains. What does it mean you uproot mountains? Someone comes along and says, this is the law. And you say, you're right. But you can see if you do some backflips and twists and take a brighter from here, that actually that law is talking about this and that, and I've got a way through, and I can uproot the mountain. I can uproot the law. You give me a law of Torah, which says you have to do X. It's a mountain. There's a mountain that says you're not allowed to break Shabbos except for three reasons. It's a mountain. You can't uproot that. Along comes someone very good in pilpul. They'll say, yeah, but what it's talking about over there is actually only on this case and not that case. And there's a case here you can squeeze through and you can uproot the whole thing and say you're allowed to do this. Why? Because you're very good at pilpul. Because you can...
It means when people is helped,
okay.
Sinai was a very small mountain.
Okay.
Hashem used it because we were young.
Okay.
So when people were very arrogant, they know all the Torah. So when somebody come down and kick him down, they think he knows everything.
Okay.
Say, yeah, but there is a way.
Okay, maybe. Up on a mountain. Okay. Put him in his place. Upward mountain. Meaning the people and so on. Okay, could be.
Also think that it would be more important to have the person who is Bakin the Baraitot to go before the guy who can do the Pilpul.
Pilpul. It didn't what?
It didn't happen in that order. The first person sent was the Pilpul.
No, it wasn't. No, the one who was meant to go was Sinai. He chose to stand down,
right.
And instead the other one went. But the rabbis in who were making him sack in Eretz Israel said he should go first. So it says here in the footnote that the Ben Yehudoya points out that the fact that it was 2.5 years and not 2 years like the astrologers predicted comes to show you that they don't know what they're talking about and they only have Be'erech, right? They can see Be'erech it's going to be, right? But they don't know. They don't know for sure. So here the Gemara is just showing you that they, right, like coming up to Pesach, right? And Moshe says that the firstborn will be smitten k'chatzot halayla. Nearly why? Because he knew the astrologers would get it wrong, and they'd say it wasn't exactly at midnight, and therefore you stuffed up. Right? Because the astrologers can't be exactly right. They can be better. But if unless it's coming from direct from Shemayim, you're not can't have it video. If it's coming from Hashem, from the Tzaddik, then you can, but if you just this world is tainted, it's not perfect.
I mean, that's why it says
Kahatzot. It says Kahatzot Alayla. In the Torah Moshe says Kahatzot Alayla. It says Kahatzot. I think. You know, Nachon for Hashem, and then when he comes to tell Paro, he says Kachatzot Alayla. Yeah, Hashem says to him, Kachatzot Alayla, I'm going to come and do it, and he says to Paro, Kachatzot Alayla. Okay, Kol Hanach Shnei de Malach Rabba. All of this time, all of these years, the Malach Rabba, the Rabba ruled. Right, the 22 years that he ruled. Afilu umna levete lokara. Not even a blood letter. Umna. Afilu an umna. Umna literally means a professional, but it's used in Gemara terminology because he was like a doctor. Kilu umna levete lokara. Rashi says. Lo nahag kol otan hashanim shum sad shvara kshaya tzarich lahakiz dam haya olech lebeit harofe ulo haya sholeach lavo elav. Right, he wouldn't even let the blood letter come to his house, meaning that he would act with humility, and he would go to him instead. That's Rashi's explanation. Apparently there's a different explanation. The Chiddush HaGra says that Rabbi Yosef was acting in deference to the warning of the astrologers. And therefore, he wouldn't accept any honor upon himself, lest he be harmed. Well, I don't know what the warning of the astrologers was on Rabbi. Oh, Rabbi Yosef, sorry. Hold on. Ah, sorry. All the years that he ruled the academy, he, meaning Rabbi Yosef, didn't let any blood letter come to his home. Not he being Rabbi. So interestingly, it doesn't say who. And Rashi leaves it open as well. Right? Because the pronoun, right, we have a, apparently is Rabbah. Right? In all those years that Rabbah ruled, he did not let any blah blah blah. Who's the he? Sounds like it's Rabbah. Art Scroll comes along and says, I don't know where Art Scroll is getting it from, somewhere else, that it's talking about Rabbi Yosef. And Rashi is silent on it, because Rashi could have said Rabbah, could have said Rabbi Yosef. Particularly, he should have said Rabbi Yosef, you would have thought, if it wasn't obvious that we're talking about Rabbi Yosef.
Footnote 14.
Nahon said Rabbi Yosef. But where... it says, see Rashi to Horaios. Maybe Rashi over there in Horaiot says it's talking about Rabbi Yosef. Okay. Top. Let's do a bit more. Here we get to the end. Amar Rav Avin, Rabbi Avin Halevi. Rabbi Avin Halevi says the following as well. My dichtiv, what is that thing that's written in Tehillim? Yancha Hashem b'yom tzara. Hashem will answer you on the day of your distress. Yisagev Hashem Elokei Yaakov. May the name of the God of Yaakov strengthen you. Elokei Yaakov, v'lo Elokei Avraham v'Yitzhak. Why in that passage in Tehillim does it say Elokei Yaakov? I normally would say Elokei Avraham le'e Yitzhak v'le'ekov. Why just only single out the God of Jacob? Mikan, from here, what do we learn? Labal HaKore, the owner of a beam of wood. She Ikanes Ba'avia Shalkora, must insert himself under the thick part of the beam. Oh, okay, so what does it mean? It means someone who's carrying a beam of wood, the owner should carry the biggest weight. Likewise with Yaakov, since it was he who raised all of the Shvatim, the tribes, it's his responsibility to pray for mercy on them. So Rashi says, Yachaz ba'ovei hakora, he should, Rashi has a different girsa. Here we've got Ikanes ba'avia, he should enter into it. Rashi says, Yachaz, he should grasp the thickness of the beam. Im ba letaltala, if he comes to carry it, mimakom lemakom, from place to place, letata bebinyan. Letata here.
Letata's
under, yeah, but underneath the house. Right. A tata babinyan. I don't know how to
understand. Bin is talking about Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov.
A tata babinyan. Kloma Yaakov, Shekol Abanim Shelo, all the sons were of him. The Tarach Begidolam, and he busied himself, he was troubled with their growing up. Yivakesh Aleihem Rachamim, he will ask upon them mercy. He uses the example of building tata underneath the house, to show that, that he was building the foundations of Beit Yisrael, of the house of Israel. Okay, another teaching from Rabbi Avin. Ramah Rabbi Avin Halevi. Kol ha-ne'ene mi-suda sh'tamid chacham sharui b'tocha. Anyone who benefits from a meal at which a Torah scholar is also there. Ki'ilu ne'ene mi-ziv ha-shechina. It's as if he benefited from the divine the radiance of the divine presence. I'm not sure is that a good thing or not. Let's have a look. There's no Rashi. Okay, let's just read the next bit and then we'll try and understand. Shinema, like it says, V'yavo Aaron v'kol zikne Yisrael le'achol lechem im chotem Moshe lifnei alokim. Right? And Aaron and all the elders of Israel came to eat bread with the father-in-law of Moshe before Hashem. V'chi lifnei alokim achlu. Now did they really eat before Hashem? No. Rather, it was before Moshe that they ate. See, apparently Moshe was here. We said he wasn't there. Right, Tov? Right? According to...
That's what we talk about.
Well, that's whether or not he was there. You said he was, he was doing the waitress. He was being the waiter. Ella Lomalacha, rather comes to tell you, Kol ha-neh mesudasha tamid chacham shari b'tocha, ki ilu ha-neh mezibat shechina. Now, it's as if anyone... that any meal that there's a Torah scholar there, you benefit from being there. It's as if... That's all right. It's as if you benefited from the Shekhinah, like we see here in the Pasuk. So, I'm assuming this is a good thing. To benefit from the radiance of the Shekhinah. Yofi, very nice to have Talmidei Chachamim at your table. V'amar Rabbi Avin HaLevi. Rabbi Avin HaLevi said the following. Haniftar mechaveiro. One who, niftar here means leaves, not dies. Right? Niftar mechaveiro. He departs from his friend. Al yomar lo lech b'shalom. Okay, famous teaching. Don't say to him, lech b'shalom. Like go in peace, that we would assume that that's how you would express that expression, that phrase, go in peace. Why not? Because Yitro said to Moshe, we learn from Yitro, he said to Moshe, lech l'shalom, go to peace, so to speak. L'shalom. Right? Allah v'itzliach. He went up and he was successful. Right? Moshe left and was very happy. David, Shemar lo le Avshalom, but David who said to Avshalom, lech b'shalom, halach v'nitla. He went and he was hanged, Avshalom. Right? It's not a good thing to say b'shalom. It should be l'shalom.
Why? Interesting what, it's interesting what... It's interesting what... You say le, it's for good, and if you go say be, it's for negative.
Uh-huh. Why? It's a good question. Why the commentators talk about it a lot? Meiri. Right. So le shalom. One explanation for meiri here is shalom is it comes from the word shalem, complete. And the fact that we're still alive means that we're not complete. And we're going to completeness. As Zat Hashem, in the future we're going to get to completeness. But if you tell a person that they are complete now, go to say to a person, go in completeness, it means that they're already done, they're finished. They're going to be to move.
What the differential here is a very acoustic differential, the meaning. If you say le, the word the letter lamed, or the word the bet.
Okay.
So I don't understand what.
So that's what I'm saying now.
Yeah, but
So b'shalom means that the person is already complete. He's finished.
Shalom in present.
Shleimut.
Okay.
He finished his tikkun. Shalem.
Be-shalom.
So if you say to someone that you're finished your tikkun and you're done, so he's done. Bye-bye. Lamala. off he goes to Shemayim. But if you say go to peace, it means you're not yet.
So this is the point that le is for the future,
Nahon.
And be it's in the present.
Nahon.
This is that's the point.
According to the Meiri.
Okay.
So they're different than Nebuchadnezzar. Yosef says. Nebuchadnezzar says that go b'shalom is a bracha. It's good, but it's not so good because it's only good for the journey. Like when a person's on their way, go in peace. But when you get there, oy vavoy, who knows what's going to happen? But l'shalom means that when you get there, it should be good for you. So that's it. Never quite a different way.
Is that it, Mukhi Yosef?
Yeah.
What do we say to fill out the dirt? Was that first to get Leshalom? Leshalom or Leshalom?
That's it.
Torichaini Bishalom?
Yeah.
No, Leshalom.
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 We not say Shalom.
Without doubt, Leshalom. Atidenu Lechaim Tomim, Simcha Ule Shalom. Without doubt, Leshalom.
Here is all the Torichaini Leshalom. Torichaini Leshalom. That's shalom. That's when le shalom. And it's le shalom. Again, you know, top. Ule shalom. Right?
That's what
we learn from here.
When you go to the funeral, you go to the guy that the rabbi that make the he said lech le shalom.
We say shalom
aleichem. Top. Amar Rabbi Avin Alevi. Rabbi Avin Alevi said something else too. Haniftam min hamet. What's in Niftam in Amet? Right. When they depart from the dead person. Rashi says, Kesher hayu molichin alvonot mimakom lemakom, when they would take the coffin from place to place, lekvorah, to be buried. Hayu melavim oto, they would accompany it, me'ir le'ir, from city to city. V'chozrim elu, and these one will go back. So when you got to the edge of the city, so you would go back home, and you kilu there it would be lulavotted from in the new city from the people who lived in that city. So when those went home, otom misham vahala vachachozrim, and the people who went back home, kare niftarim, were called the departing ones. Not lim reshut, they would ask permission lipater mimenu, to depart from the dead person. Right, they would ask permission, so to speak, from the dead person. To depart from him, right? Okay, interesting. So, what would they say? Al yomar lo lech l'shalom. They would not say to him, "Go l'shalom." Ela lech b'shalom. Right, the reverse. Go in peace. Shne'emar v'atatavo el avotecha b'shalom. Like it says in the pasuk, and you will go to your forefathers in peace. Right, talking about to be when you die, when you'll be with peace. Right, that's the time for peace, like the first explanation. B'shalom. But to be shleimut, to be complete at that time, not yet. Tov, should we do a little bit more? So let's see where we go to. Yeah, let's do the last. We'll do this teaching of Rabbi Chiya. But Amar Rabbi Levi Bar Chiya. Rabbi Levi Bar Chiya said. Hayotze mi Beit HaKnesset, one who leaves the Beit Knesset, v'nichnas le Beit HaMidrash, and goes into the Beit Midrash, v'asek b'Torah, and busies himself studying Torah. Zocher u'makabel p'nei Shechina, he will merit to receive the face of the Shechina, sh'ne'emar, like it says in the pasuk in Tehillim, yelchum v'chayel el chayel, go from strength to strength, no, from multitude to multitude.
Apparently. What is multitude?
Haber Nashim. Yera'eh el Elokim b'tzion. He will appear before Hashem in Zion. Meaning the chayil el chayil is the chayil in the Beit HaKnesset to the chayil in the Beit HaMidrash. And he will merit to see Hashem in Zion. Not yet. How do you know which way round? Don't know. presumably that's the way, that's to go from the Beit Knesset straight to the study hall and not to stop and get breakfast on the way, so to speak. You know, it's like, merry worry. Okay, the last bit we'll do now. Amar Rabbi Chia, I'll say the rest afterwards. Amar Rabbi Chia Bar Ashi, Amar Rav. Rabbi Chia Bar Ashi said the name of Rav. Talmidei Chachamim, En Lahem Menucha, it's a good thing. They don't have any rest, not in this world or the world to come. Interestingly, to contrast with their Lech B'Shalom, right? But you have no rest, not Menucha. Those who go from multitude to multitude appear before Hashem in Zion. Right?
Why does Talmidei Chachamim not have rest?
They don't have rest because they go from learning to learning. You go from the Beit Knesset to the study hall. Kilu, you don't stop.
In the world to come?
Even in the world to come.
What is the multitude referring to?
It's hard to say. The word chayil is, it's not such, it's not, it's, it means strength, it means, yeah, we use it for chayalim, soldiers, yeah. Right? It's, here they use it multitude. It's not so obvious to me that it's an obvious word for multitude. Right, just the article translation says multitude, that's why. The Rashi says, Ein lahem menucha. Nachon, you should go from 12 to 6%. Right, Rashi says, mi yeshiva li yeshiva, u mi midrash le midrash. They go from yeshiva to yeshiva, from midrash to midrash. Because we're still growing. There's no rest. What does rest mean? Rest means you're done. You're right? We're living in the Lama Fuch. People here think rest is good. I wait for the time that I can just put my feet up and rest. Why? You have to keep growing. You have to. It's a bracha to grow, to like be continually growing and not just stopping. Who wants to plateau, right? So it's a big benefit. Okay, so Tov, up until here, I think we'll leave it there. Let's see.
You say what the difference between midrash and yeshiva is?
Yeshiva la yeshiva, midrash la midrash.
Where to make the siyum?
No. Huh?
Yeah. Where to make the siyum?
No, we're stopping just short of the end, waiting for Rabbi Dror to finish, and then we'll finish together.
Ah, when it was our boy.